We're ready.
Okay, we're ready.
Call to order.
I call to order the Deer Springs Landowners Association meeting, the annual meeting held September 12th at Deer Springs Ranch headquarters. I know we're running late. It's 10:20. And we'll go ahead and call this to order. In attendance for board members, we have Ed Belinsky, Dustin Hollis, Ben Clark, and myself, John Southwick. We excuse David Sill and Shauna Cox. And John Harris.
The bats are flying in.
Yeah!
Like pulling teeth to get them here.
Okay, we are sending a roll call around for the members to sign. Yes, we are sending a roll call around for the members to sign in. Like to welcome you all here today. We thank you for your attendance. At this time, we call on Nancy Brayton for our invocation. Thank you, Nancy.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to have such a beautiful day and a beautiful place to meet you. And we ask that you bless this meeting and accomplish what we need to accomplish here. And that your spirit would just be here with us. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Thank you, Nancy. The first order of business is to approve last year's annual meeting minutes. And I'll go ahead and read those minutes and the membership can vote to approve. Last year's annual meeting was held on September 13th, 2008. The board members present at that time was myself, John Southwick, Don Cox, John Harris, Taylor Button, Dustin Hollis, and Dave Sill. The proceedings were recorded and they are available online through the internet website. I called this to order and sent out roll of four attendance and introductions, discussions of the ballot submission, and we discussed state of the ranch. Circulated photo album, discussed priorities including roads, water erosion, cabins, fuel, ranch upgrades, and communication. Handed out a list of recent 4 months' progress and handed out a list of priorities. We're unable to discuss minutes of last year's annual meeting at that time, and it was tabled till the next meeting. It was just unavailable. We reviewed old business and new business. Motions to accept minutes of previous meeting was seconded. The vote was, we couldn't approve the previous meeting. So we moved on to that, to the financial report. Linda gave financial report with the June budget, reviewed changes on fuel usage and headquarters upgrades over fees and as far as porta potties and the fish ponds. She went over the tool budget, which was high at the time, a generator purchase and a rhino purchase. And that the finances, she reported at that time that the finances were in good shape. Dustin brought up, asked where do we get the expense from, where did rhino expense come from? And Taylor said half of it was paid that year and half of it was being paid this year, and that has been done. Okay. Linda said, Linda discussed that the rhino was under miscellaneous with other costs, and if there was any question, that was to be determined on what budget items to come out of. I brought up the special business at that time, which was the election of the board members. There was a possible problem with the ballot, and that number of names and the number of vacancies that we had last year was incorrect, and that was discussed. And we went ahead with the vote. And that we also okayed possible write-ins. That the consensus that was okay. So I read a ballot and asked the ballots to be counted, which they were. Taylor suggested that we have the candidates speak, and they did. Ed Valensky introduced himself. Dave said Dave Sills had nothing to say at the time, and John Harris made comments. John, myself, commented on the membership on board and asked Paul Brayton to give the manager's report. A brief report of ranch activity was given by Paul, and Nancy did discuss that her son at the time was in a vehicle accident and was in Las Vegas at the hospital.
He's here today.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Paul discussed the basics as far as cabin, roads, and water. He displayed a map of road problems and cabins. Dustin asked about the status of the ranch house. Apparently that was okay. Paul discussed the power upgrades, the paint, the inside insulation plan, and the need for a new roof. I brought a point for purchase of a paint sprayer for the ranch, and that was approved. John Harris asked if the power is sufficient, because we had done numerous upgrades to the solar power system, and everything was working just fine. I believe it still is. John Harris asked about the road maintenance. And there was no current information. Hopefully, county and feds will resolve. As we know, they haven't. Okay, there was another issue back up here, and Paul asked that at the time there was some issue with the charge controller for the solar cells, I apologize, the minutes were kind of brief, so I'm trying to figure out what was being said. So there was an issue with the charge controller, and we'll get to that later on in the meeting. If there was any questions, they encourage calls to the ranch if they have any questions. We have two-way radios working that were working fine at the time. John Harris asked about road maintenance, and that goes on to county and feds. I asked about the culvert and rock work that was done, and Nancy is doing the family laundry. I thought that had to do with, was it Johnson's or Steve's?
The culvert work on Crawford?
The culvert work on Crawford was done by Alan Steve,
yeah.
Correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right. I'm not sure what this other entry is about to do with Nancy doing someone's laundry, but it was applicable at the time.
Okay,
last year. The culvert was emergency repair. Okay. I discussed the 5-year plan and the cabin work on number 2 and number 4. Taylor discussed the hang tags for security, and there was some member discussion on that. Paul stated that he had driven the Rhino 200 miles and had only used 7.5 gallons of fuel, which was a lot better than the old truck was getting. Okay, we discussed new committees, responsibilities, need for volunteerism, fire protection, etc. Paul brought up the need for a wood chipper, and that still remains a need. And that it would be up for future consideration. We discussed road maintenance and the board purposes on the ranch. Any old business with votes still being in. The votes were still being tabulated at that time, and recommended assigning some responsibilities to new board members, tabling until next meeting, and that was seconded. Vance stated, send me the articles and we'll post on with approval onto the web. Vance Green has been very helpful, continues to be, and always has been, with getting things posted onto the web. It's his awesome job, and so he was doing that at that time. Last year too, there was member discussion for bear sightings, and that the phone services out here was being discussed. Larry Meltzer had Ask Larry if he had anything to discuss and if there was anything on the county information that he knew and not anything that I could report at this time. I mean, that was stated. I think he said everything was fine on the roads. And Larry Meltzer was doing a lot of the grading for us last year. Linda discussed the alternate grid and the road name. That's been completed.
It's
that was
completed. It's right over there.
Okay, so...
It's on screen. It's been turned into the county, and the names, we had to change about three of them from what we had, and they've been approved, and we are on the map.
So there's no duplication in road names, and so check your road name on your for your lot.
That's more to add to that in my
and some
my
signs report. Are awesome, and that's what I'd like to say. And we also have lot signs for those who want to have the lot numbers.
I have more to add to that when we get to that.
Okay, when you get to that, that'd be a, okay. We're still reviewing last annual's minute. Don Cox made a motion to let board handle the road names, which we did. And Dustin was a coordination required for road signs and roads and signs. He was our coordinator for that. Election results came in. All board was elected. The Dale Clarkson write-in candidate tied between Brent Palmer and Bob Becker, and they declined at that time. And that I was going to contact the other write-ins. Dale Clarkson, declined. There was a water sample that was taken to Cedar by Dustin, and possibly it might have gone up with Ken Lent. Ken Lent was also going to take a sample, I believe, last year. That was, thank you, Ken. No date yet for the water tank treatment, and we discussed the pending lawsuit on the horse ride incident, and that's continuing. Don asked where are we at on goats, and Dale Clarkson responded, goats should be gone today, should be all gone today. And there was a little discussion on the goat contract future and the fire protection plan. A member commented on future building permits. There was an open forum, auction, capital improvement plan, and establishing reserve accounts. Will be in a newsletter and we'll communicate with donors. Linda said it was already in progress, and I said I prefer that we have a means for having reserve accounts to get us through any kind of financial crisis. Dustin discussed a personal preference for reserve accounts also. I proposed an upgrade for the charge controller, and second was made, and Vance discussed the ranch power. And we discussed the cost of the ranch charge controller and that we needed permission from donors to accept the charge. Bob Becker donated the funds to cover that cost. That was great. At that time, we called for a benediction. That was the end of the annual meeting. I know is there any question or any comment on the readings, however cryptic as they are? Any questions about the last year's? What's nice about we're trying to record all meetings, is that you can go to the website and you can actually listen to the annual meetings if you have further questions. So at this point in time, I'll call for approval of the minutes from the members. All those in favor, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh, we could vote too, right?
Yeah, we did.
Aye. Okay. Any abstention? Motion carries unanimous or with plurality.
I don't know.
No, we're going to start with this.
No, we have too much business to cover.
I'm
trying.
I appreciate that, though. Okay, so next order of business is the financial? No. Yes.
Yeah, financial report.
Financial report.
This Grants Association has four bank accounts. One account is the ranch house account. We opened that in 2007, hoping to build a new ranch house for the caretaker managers and their families. This year, when it appeared we could not collect enough to accomplish our goal, we offered to return the money to many who had donated to the effort. Some accepted it back. Some asked that we apply it to their assessment. Some asked we use the money to improve the living conditions for the current ranch house. And as you can see, that money has been the house is looking beautiful, and that money has been put to good use. And there are energy efficient windows in the ranch house this year, which is great. Although the managers still need a gathering room, living room, dining room type thing, so we'll see what we can do on that. In any case, this account sits idle with $100 in it to be used when we decide to use it again. The second account is our savings account, and it has $1,170.10 in it. In 2009, in the budget that you just, that was created, $500 is earmarked for this account to be used in a few years from now for BLM right-of-way costs on the roads that cross BLM land in between our units. That fee snuck up on us this year as $3,800 for a 9-year fee. Okay, 10-year fee.
Sure, then 10.
Perhaps we will be able to put more in this account at the end of the year for needed improvements on the ranch. That will depend on what we end up with at the end of the year. The third account was a horse account established in 2007. In May, the board consented to give this checking account to the caretaker managers as a working checking account of their own, and I think all will agree that that has been a successful move. It is called the caretaker's account. I keep it supplied with working capital from the budget areas that they use in their work. They report back their expenditures to me, and I keep the records of them, as we have always done. Since May, we have run $3,500 has passed through this account. It has been used for cabin supplies, store supplies, ranch maintenance items, and Friday night cookouts, tools, paint, etc. As of the 10th of September, we have $535.46 in this account. Our fourth account is the ranch account. As of September 10th, we have $46,966.78 in this account. We have collected on some old unpaid assessments, but we are down $900 from last September, last year this time, and that is two unpaid assessments. The economy has affected some of our members. I am still working on this project of collecting old assessments. I have not given up hope. We should still be able to get some more. We thank you for your assessments. They are what run this ranch. Your input as to how you want that money to be used would be invaluable. Please send me emails and letters, and I will put your concerns before the board. Your assessments also give you 2 free weeks in the cabin, an inexpensive and wonderful vacation by any standard. Call and reserve a cabin and use your weeks before the season ends. That's just a little plug for cabin time. Okay. Reservations are down by 6 reservations from September last year this time. There's got to be 6 of you who would like to stay in a cabin, maybe. Major improvements over the last year have been Nancy's project, the DSR Mercantile. She started the show of profit this month. The ice cream, ice candy bars, pop are her biggest sellers, but we have hats, t-shirts, and much more in the Mercantile. You might want to go and look. We've gotten a handle on the fuel expenses, thank goodness. Cabin maintenance funds have been put to good use by policies, repaired plumbing, refurbished showers, replaced water heaters, refrigerators, and soon we'll be painting. They did the decks at the upper cabins, I think down here too, didn't you? Not down here yet.
Garden cabin's done.
Okay. Say it again?
The garden cabin's sealed.
Yes. Oh, good. Okay. Paul's working on lights that haven't worked for a long time. The solar system at her headquarters is running better than it ever has. And there is so much more work to do to keep it all, and they keep it all within the budget. That's my financial report.
Thank you, Linda. Linda's been invaluable to us, and that was a wonderful report.
And we have received great increases on all cattle that have been on the ranch.
Oh, yeah, okay. So last year's raising fees we have received, and we've also received from this year?
Yes, we've received some from this year.
All of it or just...
I think it's half.
Half.
Yeah. And that's great. Thank you, Amanda, for the financial report.
We have a budget here, top of the loss report, and I'll hand it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
If there are any questions, I have time to say.
Do any of you have any questions on the board members? Have any questions on this budget?
Is this posted online?
Which part?
The budget?
Profit and loss in the budget.
Not yet.
Okay, will we?
We can do that.
Mm-hmm. Isn't the budget on there? I don't know that. You know, usually at the end of the year.
The budget is online.
Yeah, the budget's online. This is just an updated profit and loss.
The profit and loss statement.
Yeah.
Current balance.
Yeah. Let's see the budget is there. Okay. Any questions on the budget? Okay. I don't know that we need to motion this in the public because it's just
no.
Right.
Okay.
Just an update. Okay.
we're gonna see if you need any help with that. Linda would like to start to count the ballots. Don't we want those to respond with their, full request ballot? And those who are running for the office can speak and
that would be wonderful, but most of them need their ballots already.
I didn't, but, right. So are there any... Go ahead. Okay. Are there any ballots that need to be brought in? Go ahead and bring them in at this time. Those who are running for office, if you want to speak and say anything, you're welcome to.
Thank you. I don't mind.
I was going to have them do that after...
Can I get my report first, John?
Yeah, Paul.
We should.
Go ahead to caretaker report at this time.
What was that? Agenda.
Pass it down.
We pay for the caretaker?
Yeah, go right ahead, Paul. Take it away.
In the interest of time, we had some bear issues up here, and it was brought to my attention, it's not bear issues, it's people issues. But in the interest of time, Dustin Shively's here from DWR. He has a couple of things he'd like to say, so he can get on to an investigation out in the podunk.
Come on up.
Anybody that would like to help me, I'd appreciate it. We're going to go in the mercantile.
Yeah, Nancy needs it. That's good.
Don't forget to check it against the not paid list.
I'm going to pass out here some bear brochures. Just kind of by policy, every time we have a bear incident, we issue these bear brochures. It just kind of gives you an explanation how to live with bears. First off, I guess I'd like to thank Paul. Paul's been awesome to work with. He's been really great. Him and Nancy both have been really helpful in all the bear activity that we've had over the summer. Last year, this time, we had a big male black bear in and around the cabins. We didn't remove him in time before he went into hibernation. This year, two bears have already died in Deer Springs Ranch as a result of getting too much food at cabins. One was a little bear, not much bigger than my 90-pound dog, and another one was about a 300-pound male. So, and I'm here this morning again for another bear break into a cabin up north here. So, basically, bears have been coming in, getting too much pet food, and sometimes they're getting into people's garbage, also into coolers that are left outside. There have been two people that have told me out here that live out here that they wouldn't change their ways in how they would feed their pets, and that resulted in these bears becoming a little bit more aggressive. And that's what ultimately led to them dying. We, as a, I guess, state wildlife agency, are required to protect. Our biggest concern is public safety. And when a bear starts to become too aggressive, we have to, by law, remove it. We have a policy that, if you guys haven't heard, we rate the bear's behavior into one of three categories. The first level would be a bear that just shows up, leaves, we never see it again. The second level would be a bear that's always around, and the third level bear is where we have to remove them, has either killed a pet, showed aggression, done significant property damage. I think one of those three things. So again, we've had two bears that have already died in Deer Springs Ranch, and again, it was just because they were getting too much pet food. And that eventually led to their behavior becoming too aggressive, and they reached level three. So I guess I'm here to try to encourage folks to make sure that, I guess, you take a lot of care in how you feed pets that run around your home, and then also to make sure that you don't leave any other attractants outside. We would love to work with anybody who has seen a bear or has had a bear come to their property, but at the same time, we still want to make sure everybody is safe, and I guess there is one there around. We don't want somebody to create a bad bear at their place because they were careless, and then it goes off and, you know, God forbid it does something aggressive at somebody else's place. So, I don't know. Is there any questions on that?
Is the DNR, are you releasing any rogue bears from other areas into our area?
Absolutely not. There is our bear relocation program, especially in the southern region, is virtually non-existent. And the reason for that is we don't have enough bear habitat where a bear won't get into trouble somewhere else. The best place we can think of is Mount Dutton, and we're not even going to do that because there's too many livestock up there, sheep allotments, where we don't want to release a bad bear. So, we have not released a bear in the southern region for I don't even know.
All right.
I mean, it's been at least before 2003, so we don't do it much down here. The central region does it a little bit more, but they only release it in their region.
Okay.
And we just don't do it because we don't have enough bear habitat where they're not going to get into trouble again. So anyway, so just to dispel that rumor, I know that's been going around. We have not been dumping bears here. Deer Springs Ranch is no new place for a bear to be. It's just this is a real heavy year. And
what's the bear population in the area that you know?
In the area, it's very difficult to tell because they range so far. Statewide, it's between 3,000 and 4,000 bears. If you've been watching the news, we've had 6 or 7 bears shot by people who just kind of took the law into their own hands and shot the bear. Some might have been justified. That's another thing, too. If the bear is being aggressive towards you or a pet, you have the legal right to protect yourself and your property. But if he's just walking through your yard, that's a different story. You have to be able to articulate why you remove him. But then, you know, you just have to contact us. And that's the biggest thing is contact us. 911 works. We're hooked up with dispatch, and we don't mind coming out here at 2 in the morning. So if you have a problem like that, by all means, give us a call. So our officers will be out here. We know that this is kind of a hot spot this year for bears. Don't know why, but it's bear habitat. It's just there's more bears than probably normal on a normal year. But around here, I've had reports of as many 6 different bears in the area. So we're working on our third right now, and I hope we don't have to remove him, too. So that's the other thing. We don't want to have to remove these bears. Every time a bear shows up, we're not going to come out and kill it. So we just like to try to educate and prevent any big accidents or incidents. So
that's a good point. I thank you. This is their habitat. I think, you know, to have the wildlife in the area is a blessing. We need to be wise to how we take care of our properties, and if there's food out and things that attract bears, we need to avoid that. And I think that's, you know, I'd love to have the bear around. You know, obviously you want to be safe, but if there's anything we can do to not attract them, let's do that. Let's be wise about it. You know, whether it's deer, or it's elk, or bears, I think they're, you know, turkey, whatever. It's nice to have here.
appreciate you for bringing that
Thanks
up.
Thanks for the opportunity.
And don't think that if you haven't seen a bear at your place, that a bear hasn't been there. I'll guarantee you, every single one of you, a bear has been at your lot this year more than once. Guarantee every one of you. And the problem isn't created at your lot, it's created somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody gives that bear the learned behavior of, hey, this is a building and there's food in there, it comes to your building and says, hey, there's a building.
There's food in there.
There's food in there, and it might be a person in there instead of food.
Food, it's all the same. Fresh.
But the biggest thing is
walking or not
coming into pet food. So if you just, I guess, be mindful of that.
So you're saying that the biggest culprit is pet food, not trash or... I mean, I know that's a problem. That's interesting.
So, I mean, there has been instances where bears drug off coolers and they've gotten into garbage with, you know, meat inside of it. So, rancid meat. So... I mean, they've been coming to everything, but most commonly it's been pet food. So
pet food is a routine thing. It happens every day. You feed your pet, you feed your pet, you feed your pet, the pet food is there. Garbage is there occasionally. If a bear accidentally hits it, it may come back to check one more time. But if you're here for 2 weeks and then gone for the rest of the year, he's going to learn, hey, that's not a reliable source of food. Pet food is there every day, every day, every day.
Yeah, that's their biggest challenge, I think, is getting to the folks that are just here spontaneously, that don't hear that there was a bear around or something. So, however you guys can think of any way we can, you know, the Division of Wildlife can help in contacting these people. And, you know, we'll try to provide as much bear brochures just to kind of get the word out, but, you know, signs help or... However we can help, we'd like to.
Yeah, we'll put it out in our newsletter again, and I know it's been discussed on newsletters in the past. The specifics we'll put into the newsletter, and we'll also get it posted on our internet website.
Okay.
Thank you.
And you can put my number on there as well if you have any problems.
We'll do that.
I think you've got it. So.
We'll put that on the website.
It's on speed dial.
It's on speed dial.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Question on the bear.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of repellent thing or stuff that they don't like or
little bells?
Bells.
10-foot fence.
Bigger bear.
10-foot fence. Yeah.
If anybody wants.
What about pepper spray or anything like that?
I've had bears around my place the last 3 years.
So yeah.
Walking around, and one crawled in a culvert and I blocked that off.
Is that a bear hollow?
Yeah.
Is that at Bear Hollow up
yeah.
here? Okay.
Phil, you invite them in? They're going to come. You're going to get a kitty.
Okay.
There's no bear repellent. A personal bear spray can, you know, 95% effective.
Oh.
So I guess that's just something if you're hiking around.
Or when it's like this.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is if it gets to the point where you need some bear spray, it's too late. That the problem has been created by all of us or some of us creating the problem. You're not going to just stumble across one out here hiking. I mean, it's going to be long gone before you get there, staying out of your way, unless you've been chumming it.
Well, thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Justin.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Back to the manager's report or caretaker's report. I just wanted to say thanks to all those who have... lend a hand, an ear, a shoulder out here to make Deer Springs what it is. I know it's been a long process, long before I was here, and probably long after I'm gone. And it takes you guys to kind of make it what it is. And I just want to thank everybody that's done their part. When my family was hired here, the motto was back to the basics. And we've really kind of run with that. As far as cabins, we've, like Linda said, we've installed new refrigerators, new hot water heaters, and done a lot of plumbing. A lot of the plumbing here is, you know, old copper pipe that's broken and brittle, and a lot of it's been clogged up with from just years and years of deposits and things going through there. So if you notice, I don't know if you guys have seen all the cabins, but
I recommend you guys coming out and staying a night, a weekend, a week, but come back out to the ranch and check out the cabins. They're basically remodeled, I guess you could say. They're clean. They don't stink except for cabin 7. They have a refrigerator that likes to emit a little bit of odor, but there's nothing wrong. But the back to the basics, the roads. I wrote up a culvert plan last year, and luckily we haven't had any washed out roads with some of the monsoon moisture that we had out here. We're lucky. There's a couple areas up around the Crawford turnoff there that I feel we need to put a culvert in there pretty soon before we lose a road. But I have the culvert plan. When I got here, there was no plan. And I think, you know, the back to the basics motto is starting with a plan and moving from there. Our water systems, we had the Rural Water Association out here and went over our water systems, and he thought, you know, we have a pretty good water system out here. A couple minor details that need to be hashed out, but basically we have a top-notch water system here. I do believe we need to move forward on the resealing of the tank before we lose the tank completely. As far as the agriculture, I don't know if you guys have driven up through the ranch a couple months ago. It was luscious green. A lot of the sagebrush had been mowed down, and some of the oats and some of the fields were coming up green as can be. And I think that is a big thing out here, to have green fields. The Johnsons have worked tirelessly to brush hog and clean up a lot of these fields out here, and the natural grasses and crested wheat and things that were planted years ago are starting to come back up. I don't know about you, but I like seeing sagebrush, but I also like seeing fields of green grasses and triticale and alfalfa and things that this land was created for. I say we have the land, let's use it. I think the Johnsons out here with their agriculture project, with the seeding and everything, they spent a lot of money last year, $21,000 to be exact, and they didn't get anything out of it. What they ended up doing is grazing their cows for a few months to graze off what they had planted, and that came to about, it says here, $5,000 in grazing, you know, to saving their cows from throwing hay at them. They brought them out here and grazed them and grazed off the field, so they lost about $16,000. I think we know what happened with their project. They drilled things too deep, and there's just a couple issues that could be solved really easy. A dry farming project is pretty difficult out here with no water. I think we should help them out a little bit. We already helped them out by letting their cows come and graze off the fields, and their plan is to come back and reseed and hope for the best next year. But back to the basics, I think we've gotten back to the basics. I think it's time to move on from that. I like Ben's wording, less dirt, more green. Less is more, but I think with everybody's participation, I think we can make this the best it could be, back to what it used to be. We started, I don't know if you guys know this, a lot of you guys have come down for the barbecues on Friday. I encourage everybody to come down on Friday night and just get together. I keep hearing stories of people, they used to come down here and meet all the time. And what a great thing for a group of people who are like-minded. They, you know, they love it out here. This is where they want to be. I think Friday night's a good place to start. We're more than welcome to cook you a meal and have a fire and talk. But I think we ought to get together more often, share our ideas. Linda also mentioned about the signs. I've already started putting signs up on some streets, and I think that's pretty neat. You send somebody out here, and there's no street name, so they kind of get lost. You know, turn left here at the big tree, and turn right after the third fence post, and so I have some signs, and we have the new maps, and they have the street names on them, and I think I have the majority of the signs, but feel free, if you want a street sign, feel free to come in, and we'll look for it, and I'll give you some posts, and maybe I'll help you put it up, but that's kind of my plan, and also lot number signs. I kind of want to get them out of my tool shed. There's three big piles of them, and I drive around the ranch. I don't see too many street or lot number signs. Other than that, I've done a lot of things, like this pea gravel here. It used to be dirt. There used to be cinders here, but the cinders kind of got mashed and ended up turning to dust. There's a sign over by our water hydrant. I had that made up, and I'd like to take some donations for that just to pay for it so the ranch doesn't have to come up for it. A lot of people pull water out of there, and that's just one of the things that they agreed on when they moved out here, is they could pull water from there. But that's kind of your guys' water station. But other than that, I think we should move on and keep plugging along, and I think things are looking good. We're moving in the right direction. That's it.
Thank you, Paul.
You're
welcome. Appreciate
it. Yeah.
All right. All the hard work you do.
We have to approve that?
How much was that? What was the cost on that sign again?
He charged me $200, but in order to get it here before the annual meeting, I had him deliver it early. And he drove here from Colorado, and he stayed in a cabin. He might end up buying property here, but
excellent.
The total was $300.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I know you had gone over that with me, and I approved that. Okay. Any of the candidates want to speak? There's some time. Actually, the ballot's already being cast, so... please do.
Yeah, we'll take... Doug, will you come up for a minute? Some of you have met Doug Hunt. Doug's been around the ranch for years and has the herd of longhorns that's there in the meadow, and so... He's made a trip here to meet more of the members and get to know them. And if you have questions for him, but Doug, take a second and introduce your cows or yourself.
Well, it's a pleasure. I've been a few years back. I ran cattle in the meadow. I have a kind of a soft spot in my heart for this ranch. It's one of God's most beautiful creations as far as I'm concerned. Of course, the meadow with longhorn cattle, it is probably the most beautiful creation. we have, if you've probably seen, we have cattle out this year. The bull that's there right now is the longest horned bull in the history of the longhorn breed. The longest horned longhorn cattle in the world are not in Texas, they're in Utah. And they're in your, and some of them are at your ranch. And in the future, I hope there'll be more of them. It's kind of fun when you have Texas friends, and they're always bragging about, you know, Texas and longhorns, and you can say, well, it's a verifiable fact. It isn't something that's out there. In fact, this bull in a month, 6 weeks, would take him to Fort Worth to be measured again, and he'll set a new world record. And there's cows there that are that same way. So it's a kind of a choice breed. It's different. They're not as ferocious as you might think they are. But I would suggest you wouldn't take a dog in the pasture, because they can't tell a dog from a coyote. But when we talked about doing this, I told them that I would make sure that I would never take anything into that pasture that had any sign of hooking anybody. So they're pretty gentle, and they're pretty colorful. I've ran cattle most of my life between when I grew up in Gunlock, Utah, just not too far from here. Ran cattle. I've been the Longhorn breeder for about 25 years. Last year, I'll just brag a little. Last year, I was chosen as the Longhorn number one Longhorn breeder in the United States. So you can also brag about that. At the last measurement, they give two awards at the last measurement, and I got both of them for having the most cows there and being the breeder of the most cows there on the premises. Now this, and they all came from Utah. So it's kind of unique for me. I think it's unique for you. I think it's a win-win situation. I'm willing to pay a premium. I think that probably I'm paying maybe 30-40% more than you've been paid before. I'm happy to do it because it's worth it. This ranch and that setting is worth it to me. And I think to make a real win-win situation, I'd like the opportunity to be extended beyond it 1 year. So if I go to 4 or 5 years, so that you knew what was going to happen, I knew what was going to happen, and that, to me, that would be a win-win situation. You might think I look too old to last that long, and you're not supposed to bring that up. But I challenge anybody here or anybody you know to get on a horse and follow me for a week. Anybody here or anybody you know. I've ridden a horse further than anybody in the state of Utah. One time I rode a horse from Logan to Cedar City. Another time I went from Dunlop to Cedar City. A bicentennial wagon train came, and I was the outrider for it. So I can do those sort of things, even though it looks like I got a little long in the tooth. I appreciate the opportunity, though, and I just got off a mission for my church, and so I have not been here this summer, but I'll be here next summer. And anytime you want to take pictures or anything, you want me to go to the pasture with you, or any way I can accommodate you in any way, I'll be here next summer, and we'll do that, and we'll teach you about Longhorn. By the way, the meat is about 98% fat free. Okay. The calorie is less than chicken or fish. I heard that you're going to try to do this thing on Sundays, on Fridays, so I'm going to make arrangements to try to donate meat for you for that thing, okay? I'll have to get something killed because I just sent out another world. we'll get meat for you, and if you ever take it tasty, Longhorn steak burger that we have, you haven't eaten beef yet. I've got two or three brochures I want to leave with you that tells you how to cook the meat and that sort of thing, a little more about the breed, and I'll get out of your face.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it.
I'll
wear these cattle out on the Prius.
Here's some of these little ones. And we usually do a cattle drive from, I also have over at Trevor Leach's a little way to have a few cattle, and we make a cattle drive, we go along here and then down Sheep Creek, down to the Prius, and then this time we're going clear down to the Prius. Here's the thing that I did two or three when I was here last, it tells you how long it's been, 2000. That gives you some idea where we do that cattle drive. But I'd like to point out that this was a national calendar. It sent out to every Longhorn breeder in the world. And we were on the front of it. And here's what it says. Hunt's Longhorn featured Old West cattle drive through Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid Country. Home of all this genetics. And photo taken on the famous Deer Springs Ranch.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Ben's been the one that's been working with Doug, and with this program's going really well.
Well, that for my board update. I have worked more on the agricultural side of things and stuff. When I went on the board in October after last year's annual meeting, the decision was made to sell off the rogue cattle that the association had that we weren't very good at taking care of. And so we removed those with a plan of trying to cut back the numbers for a year or two and try this dry land farming, so that with the fences we have, we can't really keep cattle from moving on a lot of the areas that the Johnsons had planted, except for in the meadow. So we took a non-use this year on our BLM grazing to let it rest and improve, and then made arrangements for Doug to put the longhorns there in the meadow, which if you drive up there, you'll see we did some dozer work and stuff that Dale worked on to remove a lot of the brush and willows, and then with the longhorns there, as they've grown back, they've done a good job of keeping them cut down. But we're happy to have some input. Otherwise, our long-term tentative plan is to, redo a cattle grazing and work with Doug, like he says, on a little more permanent basis, to use back our BLM grazing area. And with that, if we can get a little better schedule long-term, Doug would like to have, they have an annual horn measuring contest. There's, again, he's taking his big bull to Fort Worth, Texas. The other that they've had here in Utah for the Utah, Colorado, Arizona, and Nevada area, we'd like to host here in the fall at Deer Springs. And so in order to do that, we've got to do...
this year that's been extended to California and Oregon, too.
Okay. That's one thing that we're trying to do that would bring a lot of people here for a day or two to have an event that really fits in with the beauty of the ranch.
Yeah,
that's all I have.
I think it's a great enhancement. Thank you. Thank you, Ben. We're still waiting for the votes to be tabulated. Are they getting close? At this point, we'll go ahead and to cover some old business / new business. It's been brought up that there was a prior approval for some water usage, some easement across the association properties from Lee Springs to some other I don't know the exact lots, but lots in that area. And we have those who have that right of water. We're wanting to put some pipeline across the association, and I had basically asked them not to because I felt that there needs to be further discussion and some specifics drawn up and to get full approval. I know there's debate whether it was brought up in June of 2007. Let me get the specifics here. Bear with me a minute until I get my specifics and my train of thought.
And John?
Yes.
I'm starting from lot 128, Marvin Acres. We wanted to talk to the, I didn't want to waste member time with this, if it was so, like, can we do this for us according to the vote, or...
After the vote, it would be turned over to the new board, which is where I think it should be anyway, an action that they should take place. But I just thought while they're counting ballots, we just get some, we can get, open up for discussion, and we can, so the parties involved. Okay, June on, let's see, it was May 23rd, 2007, no, it was June. What had, on new business, there was a broad hollow water use of Lee Spring as a water source, They were wanting to draw water from there and put a line across the association property, and that Brent was going to start the paperwork with State Engineering, and the board, and basically it says that the board agrees with the process. I know there was more discussion at the time, but unfortunately there wasn't anything written, and so there was no specifics involved with that.
I believe since that time, however, John, they've actually gone through with that, and they have received the water rights.
Right, right. Yeah, that wasn't, from what I recall and what I've been told, is that they wanted to know if they could, before they went ahead and got the water rights, they wanted to see how the board felt about running a water line across. And that's fine. And since then, they have received those water rights. And now we're at the process, the next step, I see, is the process, because without any specifics, you know, engineering, drawings, sketches, how, what, when, where, and why, we understand the why,
has this process been done on other pipelines on the ranch?
All I can deal with is what's happening today. Okay, what's been grandfathered, what's happened in the past.
Last year, haven't there been other pipelines put through that haven't had that, all this process, the engineering statements and so forth?
Probably there probably hasn't. But that doesn't forgo the fact that, you know, to be prudent and to, you know, there should, you know, who's responsible for it? These are just thoughts I have. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a legal person. These are thoughts to me. I come to my mind is, you know, specifics is like, you know, how is this going to be? Where is it going to be done? You can't just say, well, just run a pipeline across someone's, you know, this is everyone else's property. So, I mean, where is it? This is just thoughts that go through my head, okay? And to what depth? What material? Who's going to be responsible for it? Is this an easement? Is there a right that, you know, like if I were to put an easement on my neighbor's property or with the city or county or something, they would require, you know, some specifics. I'm not saying that we need to go into that great of detail, but these are just what comes to my mind. So I said, let's hold off, let's put it to the new board, and I believe that's the prudent thing to do. Because there really was no specifics, you know, at, if they had specifics when they came across to get permission, then that's, and there has been nothing since then, and this has been over 2 years, you know, why try to rush something through, and let's do it right. That's all I'm asking. You know, let's not rush.
The question is, what is right?
Yeah.
Is there a process? Is there a procedure? Or is there a regulation?
Well, the board is responsible for the association lands. And it's up to the board to determine what is right.
But the board did that.
They had no specifics. Now, the board didn't. Like I said, I just read you the minutes. There is no process.
But the minutes.
What's
do
the
not
process?
The discussion that took
okay.
Place
well, I'm open for the discussion. This is why we're here. Let's discuss it. Okay. Well, what should be the process? That's what we're discussing. And yes, this is one thing that Deer Springs is lacking in, and as part of a master plan, you know, these things, this is not the first time this has come up. This is probably won't be the last this has come up. But there should be a process and a permit process to validate, because you're asking for an easement, you're asking for a right to cross property, okay, and to protect you and to protect the board, it should be in writing. And just verbal is not okay with me. That's why I bring it up.
But it would be in writing if the minutes had been properly transcribed.
I was there at that meeting, and there was not a lot of written stuff presented at the time. It was all verbal.
Yeah, but the discussion was verbal.
Right. Then what happened after that? What happened after that? See, what happened after that? Nothing. You went and got the rights to the water, which is not a problem. I'm not disputing the right to the water. Not in question. But what we do from there is an issue. And that is what requires the process. A process, just saying process, just approval.
What is the process? Has it been defined?
Well, let's define it.
Okay. So I'd like to make a motion.
This is not a promotion.
Board members can only make motions for that.
Members,
so
you know.
Well, how are we going to define this process?
I would say that the easiest way to do it is we come up with a document that explains that.
What do you have?
So, and it behooves the board to do that because that would protect you and protect the board. So we would need to document that, document the location, so take a GPS reading where it would be. We've already agreed in spirit from the vote that will happen. So we just need to document that process. Would you agree with that, John?
I'm still the vote and what happened last 2 years ago is still too vague. We need specifics and to before we even agree to agree.
Okay, so I need to.
What information do we need then?
And I tend to agree with, instead of it being a free for all on the ranch when all this stuff does come up, that we need to now start proceeding the right proper way to go about doing certain things like this, and it's not upon the member themselves to go out and do these things without a certain guideline to follow. So if we make that effective now when we start with this new board, then that carries on to every member throughout the whole association.
Right.
And it will be a guidance and state structured process.
Plus, we can have it on the website, and everybody can refer to that.
If you have a guideline, you can put a proposal to the board. Said, okay, these are your guidelines. This is what we're proposing, and
move forward. So it will not be for this one case here.
Right.
It will be for everybody throughout the
county. Well, let me say, I was not in the meeting, so I don't know specifics on that. But I think there's two issues here. One is the use of the spring. So to deal with that, the spring is a major association asset for water rights in that area. That needs to be developed and coordinated so that it benefits the three or four lot owners that have filed now and have valid filings. Nobody's disputing that, but everyone in that area and the association ground in that area. And there is some, as we've learned and worked with the water rights and stuff, there is some danger there that we go and develop it for three, four lots, and then the state says, okay, that's all. Well, that can't be all. The association as a whole for the common area there still needs to make sure that rights are usable there. Secondly is on the pipeline, which is, I guess, kind of come up as the issue. Any of the pipelines, just so that the record is straight, there is not other pipelines that have just been plowed in on association land without the board going out and having a site approval or having a written map to document where it is.
There's no
a lot one where the spring was developed association, but all the others is in the association easements and the roads that are on there. There's been other water systems that are put in that are on this map. They are documented where 10 years from now or 20 years, you can go and say yes, the water line is right here. Up, this is a little bit new where it's in the middle of a 200-acre plot. And other than saying, well, the sagebrush looks like it's disturbed, it was kind of out through here, there needs to be some type of a map, whether it's a GPS, and I'm not proposing a lot of expense in engineering stuff, but there needs to be something to say, we flagged the easement where we would like to put it, where it's proposed, and then the board and those that are going to try to make sure to go out and look at it, maybe there's some discussion of where it should be, because it's going to have to be maintained. So I think that some of those things are what's lacking. Again, they're very simple and nothing that I think anybody is trying to do to make it difficult. But until that happens, I don't think that we should start digging and putting pipe in the ground until we've decided. I don't think anybody other than the couple of lot owners that are involved and maybe Brent that was working on it know where's this pipeline going to go. That needs to be flagged, and then some way of having that in writing of where that was for future maintenance and understanding. So that's I think the part of it.
Well, and another thing that came out initially was like there was talk about putting in a road so a trencher could come in. Well, we just can't put roads in anywhere we want. We've run into that problem before, and
not with association, right?
Well, still, everything, any road, it still has to come to the board for approval. Even if it's onto your lot to put in your building site, it still needs to go in to the board and get approval. Same county regulations, so forth. Dale, you had a comment.
Well, what I was going to say is, I think it's time that the water be used and be put to beneficial use. There's a lot of things that have to happen before that. One thing I'd like to report is the good springs in the wet meadow were never filed on. Finley didn't file on them. They weren't filed on, except I filed on them. I didn't file on them, but I did the background work several years ago. The state had not recognized it, but I did have the file that documented those things. Now, by way of a parallel, I guess I could have gone ahead and put the water filings in my name. But what would that do to the rest of the members? I think there has to be a comprehensive plan that's fair so that, that people aren't cut out. I would like to report that that's one of the best water filings. The state did recognize it 6 or 8 months ago. We have 126 acre-feet of water coming out of the springs in the wet meadow in the name of DSROA, and it'll be one of the finer things that we'll use here in the future for the association ground, as perhaps even the neighboring lots. So a lot of work has to go on these things so that it's fair. Leaf spring, oak spring, black knoll spring, all these springs have had a plan over the last 35 years. There was not interest or money to develop them like they should be. That interest is now growing. I think we can help to activate these water rights and be fair and see that these people get water, which is very critical, and get the pipelines in. But a system has to be worked out so that it is economically wise and is done fairly. And I'd like to share with them files that have already been used on that spring and others and help to build this plan of development that we're talking about.
And it's just something that I believe in that being fair for. We don't want to, you know, cap off that spring after we get our water to our property. Yes, it should be available to anybody in that area that can benefit from. So if we can do that, and does, you know, does the association come into the effect then that they're going to go ahead and let's build it, the association will build that spring, develop it, and then charge shares for everybody that wants to use the water, what's that share? I don't think an individual should go out and do this leaf spring and then later say, okay, well, we've got the permit for it, we want to charge you to use the water. No, you can be charged to hook up again. And the state, as far as the state's concerned, they have nobody, no cap on like 4 people, 5 people, 6 people. It's just a matter of how much water that spring produces and how many families or cabins will that support. So I'm all for the fair, let's get it done right and let's share this benefit. But yes, let's do it the proper way.
Yeah, and that's what we're all about. That's all we. That's all we'd like to speak to. We're not disputing any water rights or anything like that.
That's the time I arrived. Right. We just dispersed from there.
Right.
If these three people got the water rights that they now have, they'd use 100% of the water.
Yeah, there is a difference.
That's not right, Bill.
Would be without.
That's not correct. There's a first water right that's a diligence plan that Deer Springs Ranch owns for cattle grazing, and that's already allotted in there. And then the four of us, well, basically with Barbara and Larry in the same place, three, we're allotted 1.7 acre feet. So, no, that's not using 100% of the water.
And how much does the spring produce?
Oh, let me tell you that.
How much does the spring produce?
Hold on, I'll tell you that, Bill.
Let me just say one thing, because whatever number you come up with, the important thing is when you have a natural spring sitting out there, how it's developed is going to determine how much is running out of it. Once that is measured and turned into the state, and some of that has been done, then there is a risk that the state says, hey, somebody measured before and said it did a gallon a minute, and that's all we're going to allow. Even if it's producing, or we say we can go in and do a better development job and get 10 gallons a minute, the state's still going to say we only recognize 1 gallon a minute, and we're happy the other 9 runs out on the ground for the deer to drink. And so that's where
where the spring is on the association property, that spring I know has been worked on and developed and equipment go in there three or four times over the last 30 years. None of them have been up to today's standards or had the finances and the mentality, you know, the thought put into it. That's, I think, on the spring specific, something that you know, we want to encourage and make sure that the members that are there, those that have, again, I commend you guys for being proactive and getting water rights like some of the members have while this area is available. Those are going to be valuable for you and the entire area. We need to make sure that when that's developed and stuff, though, you know, even the number that the state has is far less than that spring is producing. But it's based on numbers of somebody taking and putting a pipe in the ground and putting a rescue 5-gallon bucket and measuring it. We need to go in and put a little money into developing and make sure that we get the maximum usability out of that spring for, like I said, the associate. That spring should produce enough water for the cluster of all the private lots in that Broad Hollow area and still make sure that we have stuff for the Broad Hauler, and possibly even if we can get it put in properly and state certified where people could haul water, like Paul was talking about. We have the water source here, but there's a lot of people in the north that would love to say, I don't want to drive another 4 miles dragging my trailer all the way to ranch headquarters. If I could have a fill-up station that was state certified there, even though they can't get the water piped to their lot, they would at least be able to fill up there. That's what we've got to make sure. Like I said, that and then the pipeline that you guys are proposing put in, that it's just put in the right location, and that there's some discussion. If we put in a 1-inch line and that is good for 3 people, should we put in a 4 or a 6-inch line so that future people, not in an additional cost to you, but so that then future people could hook into that without going to trench in a second and a third and a fourth line?
Right.
So I think that that's something, but bottom line, it's something that's got to be worked with directly more than once, a communication once every 2 years with the board of directors, and secondly, it's got to be in writing, because as we, just from this, every year the board's going to turn over, and the only way for there to be continuity is to say, hey, here's a written signed agreement that is recorded against the land, and basic, real estate law that then protects everybody.
Right. And just for basic knowledge for you guys, the capacity right now, based on 3 gallons a minute, which I think Brent has measured.
I've measured 2 out of it.
Okay. So out of that, it produces over 1,576,800 gallons of water per year. That's going into the ground. Based on what we're asking for, the 1.5 gallons per minute, it would only pull up 788,400 gallons, which is more than like
cabinet
would require.
Oh, yeah.
Even
that's
freezing, you know,
right.
You had 100 head of cows.
But one of the things that's critical is when I first went over there and talked to the state, they told me about a limited amount of water. And then when Larry and Jody and Joe and them went over and applied, I was very shocked that they were given 1.73 acres. When I started calculating it out at Dale, then I got thinking to myself, if they get those 1.73 acre feet, then that 22 acre feet that's already allocated to Deer Springs Ranch for livestock units, there's not that much water there.
Right.
So part of this problem is, a big part of this problem is the state. The state doesn't really know.
But we're talking two different things. The 1.73 they were given has nothing whatsoever to do with the spring. Every member, this ranch is in the Prairie River drainage. Every member that has a lot here can file $75 fee, fill out the paperwork, and file and get a 1.73 acre foot filing on their lot. Because the Prairie River drainage is one of the only places in the state of Utah still open for appropriation. Then you have to prove where you're going to get it. You're going to drill a well or find a spring or something. And that's where it gets, if all the members go and file that and then all say, hey, we're all tapping into Leaf Spring, there's going to be a lot of people standing when the trails run out. And so that's where we've got to make sure that that there's still enough to serve everybody and we don't, cut it short. So
when Dale first applied in 78 to Leaf Spring, you applied for 5-point-something acres, which would have worked out to be approximately 0.25 acre feet per lot over there in Deer Springs, something in that general area. and that would have been a reasonable amount of money. And yes, you're right. Anybody here can apply for 1.73 acre feet, and then when they prove up on it, you know, that's when they decide. Like I say, I was just surprised that the state, talking about a spring itself, you know.
Well, that's how they did it. They just took their lot and said, you're going to go to that. You're going to go to that spring.
My issue here, this doesn't involve me other than this. My issue here is that over the course of the years, the board has given verbal approval for something, okay? And I'm completely comfortable with the board coming in and saying one thing, and then down the road, a new board coming in and saying, no, we can't do that, okay? That's okay. My problem is this. If we, I'm completely in agreement with John. We do the who, what, when, where, why, and how on everything. We start today doing that. And so there's no question about this from this point on. The problem is are we going to make verbal commitments? The board, previous boards make verbal commitments, and then they're going to take them away. Okay? And let me give you one example of that. When I went to drill my well, Alma Fletcher, who drilled my well, said to me, he says, you know, Brent, you need to go as far out into the Broad Hollow as you can. And I said, well, I'll go, let me ask for the board's permission to go into my easement. Now, the easement is for utilities, which I consider a well to be. So I went to the board and I asked for an easement because I didn't want to put my well in the easement without permission from the association, the board. The board gave me approval. Niall actually voted against me. But that's okay. That's not the point. The point was that I was given approval. Now what happens if a board now comes to me and says, Brent, we don't want that well there. You've sunk $14,000 in something that we're going to take away from you. I'm a real easygoing, fun-loving guy, and that would make me go postal.
Well, that's why, Brent, that's why I think writing things down and signing on things and getting full approval and have everything out in the open and good discussion is vital to this process.
I do not argue with that. Okay. And if that's going to be the way it's going to be.
The way things have been grandfathered in,
But, Brent, in my mind, though, here's a little bit of a difference. There's been water and stuff put in existing easements. What you went in the utility easement is a document. It's on that map. I can go into the Kane County Recorder's office and get it. I can go to the Division of Water Rights, and there is a surveyed point of where your well is. It's in writing. What we're talking about, this pipeline now, I've never seen anything that says where it's going to go. And until that happens to document where it goes, it shouldn't be installed. It probably should have been. Yeah. But that's the only difference. I think that, again, if the board votes on something and it goes in the minutes, it's legally binding. But again, if we're creating a new easement, it needs to be mapped. It needs to be legally described or something. And that's, I think, the only issue on the pipeline. I think that obviously the association property should be made available, especially to multiple, you know, lot owners to come across there. But there may be some debate in crossing some of the erosion and ravines. You know, it's there. Do we put in a dam to put the pipeline through, or how are we going to deal with the erosion?
Can't put anything in without approval,
and,
right?
And who's
going to pay for the maintenance on that?
From the state. From the state.
I'm not in disagreement with you guys.
Yeah, I
not whatsoever. Okay, and I, my only argument on this whole thing is this: I don't have a problem from us going from this day forward. This is the way it's going to be. And it's and we need to consider beneficial for all. We need to consider all of the issues that are involved in relation to the legal requirements and everything else that goes along with it. And so I'm going to encourage the new board, the old board, any board, we don't make any decisions anymore just with a verbal whatever. We get everything in writing, we apply it, we scrutinize it. We vote on it. If it requires a vote of the membership votes on it. Goes in a file. We have it from that point on.
Absolutely.
I second that motion.
Niall?
Doesn't the statute of frauds require that any legal
easement not only be in writing, but also be recorded?
I think so.
Which I was going to suggest is maybe we use the...
Yeah, if we do an easement, we should have it recorded anyways. I mean, it makes sense.
Right. And so this process, we have, like I said, we you know, a handshake and
well, but I agree, but I also, you know, I was not on the board then, but I was on the board previous when the Podunk system was put in, and some of those, these discussions happened. Again, that was over 10 years ago, but there was concern that, hey, we need to make sure that the pipeline stays in the existing easement, or if there is any new easements, they're created and documented as where they are. Those things have been gone through to every improvement or encroachment on association ground that I'm aware of ever. So I don't want anyone to feel like, you know, that they're being picked on or that there's some new rules being created. It just... None of this has happened for many years. The only ones I know in the last two or three years have gone in existing roadways and existing easements that were already documented for, you know, access and utility purpose. So it was then easy to say, sure, you can use it.
So it's really not a matter here of we're not allowing you to...
Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
So let's get it down.
Right. We just need to document it, and there needs to be some brainstorming on it. As a board member, I would be derelict in my responsibility if some pipeline went in and I, as board member, said, I've never even seen it, I've never went and visited it, I have never seen a map on it, I don't know what they did. Somebody after me on the board, you go and try to dig it up and find where it is or whatever.
Now, let me ask a question. Is the water rights on each member's lot, do we have to apply to the board for those, or are those just assumed?
I think at one time, wasn't that we wanted to be notified or something?
Yeah, well, that's the number one thing that Dale's been beating on. We've got to formalize our water use plan so that the association has, you know, hundreds of acre feet of water. Some of those are already committed by virtue of your membership to you as individual lot owners. There still needs to be enough to stay to use and take care of the association ground. And there's still been a lot of verbal discussion and a lot of ideas, nothing documented. That master plan is a top priority to really, as members now are starting to use it. I mean, we went for 20 years and there was only two or three members at all that did anything. Now we have a dozen a year that are now putting the money in and getting water. We've got to formalize that. And there's ideas to do that, but we've got to follow it through.
0.45, what you get.
So there's
a time clock to run. Once it's deeded to you, you've got to do something with it.
Right.
You don't, you lose, it's lost, and it doesn't come back to the association. The association is holding them now, somewhat protected. And once individuals request those, they have to put it into use, or it's lost.
Dale, you have some information.
I'll finish this, and then I do want to make a comment.
Any other questions on that? Again, those that are involved, you know, need to work with the new board, and I don't think that there's a problem to impede that. I mean, it's a good thing and something that the board would have encouraged and asked for people to do. We're a little bit...
And can assist with.
We're a little bit poor in our process and discussion.
Or something, especially... It's pretty clear if you're on your own lot and you file for your own water and you drill your own well or you happen to have a spring on your own lot, you're in the clear to pretty much do what you want.
Right.
If you're doing anything on association ground or on association spring, it makes it where everybody else is involved. And I know there are other filings right now by private members on association springs that really shouldn't happen without... association involvement. So it makes the whole process really cumbersome. So people, if they're getting ready to do something, they should come to the board and say, okay, what can we do, or what is the plan, or what has been the plan, or is there a plan to develop water? I want to help. I want to be part of the process. Let's get something going. Instead of getting to that point and then feeling like they get shot down.
Right. I appreciate that. Okay, Dale, is this related to the water, or?
Not necessarily.
Not? Okay.
I was goofing off on some things here. I think all of you should go, when the candidates were going to talk, I think all of you should go up the Wet Meadow and see the willow removal that's been taking place up there, the restructuring of that whole property. We've taken 3 pickup loads of old barbed wire that's crippling animals and people and pulling out of those willows. So there's been a lot of cleanup on those areas. We did a lot of work on the different reservoirs that some of the people here may or may not know about. The reseeding. So there's a lot of things that we've been doing this year along with the water rights, a master plan on them and these new water rights that I think are of great benefit to the ranch. Bottom line, if I had been here when you were calling for candidates to speak, 2 or 3 days ago, I removed my name as a candidate for the board, so somebody else can get on. And so my name was officially removed from that person. So good luck. I'll still help out and do as much.
Okay. Well, I don't know what the results, how the results come out yet.
That's
you still
you
may
should,
be.
You should go after everybody talks, not before.
Well, a lot of the people that is the ballots have been the ones that have been sent in have been sent in.
The voting is done improperly still.
I called for people to speak, and
yeah.
No one.
I'd like to say that. Why? A lot of things have been done. A lot of major things have been done on the ranch this year. Major, major. And the membership should know about it.
Yeah. And I do encourage everyone who's here and everyone who visits the ranch to get out and drive the ranch, look at the improvements that have been made. And
you, Dave.
Yeah. And, rent a cabin.
We have cabin time available,
Mike. My wife is sponsoring a health retreat for the last 4 days. And yesterday, I took people from 6 states on a ranch tour and up on top of the Pinks. And what they felt and what they experienced, I can't even honestly find words to describe it. It had a very, very big impact on them. And their whole experience here for 4 days, every piece of it, from the guineas to Paul and Nancy to others that they've met, has just been truly a remarkable experience. So it felt like a good time to add that in.
All right, appreciate that, Mike. So without any further discussion on the water issues, it is something that we are addressing and as a board, and we do need your input. And those of you who have seek to make improvements, let's get it done right. It's in writing, and so that there's no question about how things are being handled. And that there will be no recourse for other boards to bring up matters that they felt that had been dealt with. But anyway, that's we have the results for the election. I take it, Linda?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
The write-in candidate, John Southwick, has been re-elected. No.
That's funny. No, I don't
5 years.
I did not.
No, that was
it's
a joke.
It's the worst type of wreck all over again.
That's the other color. We had the three candidates that received the most votes. The most votes went to Brent Fulmer.
How many?
You know what? I didn't keep that record.
Because I voted 226 times for myself.
he promised all of us that we vote for him, he'd pay our assessment.
We really want to know who voted for him.
I have record here, but I did not write it on our final tally.
Bob Becker is here.
Bob Becker's here?
Yes. Is that him, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Not that it'll make any difference.
Yeah, but I need to get to go to the second. The second in line is Ben Clarkson, and the third in line is Chris Clayton. So our Boom Board members are Brent Fulmer, Ben Clarkson, and Dirk Clayton. And we'd like
to. Who the board members are?
Say it again?
So the full board membership will be Ed Zielinski, Ben Clarkson,
John Harris,
Donna Cox,
Dave Sills,
former Dirk Clayson,
David Sills
still on. Okay.
And we're grateful to John Southwick and Dustin Hollis for their service to the ranch in the last 2 years. It's been a really good board that we've worked with, so give them a hand.
Well, I appreciate it. I'd like to thank everyone and for their support, and I'm very glad to turn the reins over.
Oh,
okay. As far as the lawsuit goes, the lawsuit.
That's the never-ending story, isn't it?
I have a letter from the lawyer.
You want to cover that? What do you do with that letter?
That's the one I did.
No, it just.
Basically, it's still in the works. What they're trying to get are depositions on the plaintiff's part, and they're trying to get medical records from the VA. Initially, our attorneys, or the ranch insurance attorneys, wanted to get 10 years vet medical, you know, from the Veterinary Administration, medical records.
Veterans Association.
What did I say?
Veterinary.
Not for the donkey, excuse me.
Get the medical record on the
donkeys.
Veterans.
I don't think you would send your...
Anyway, the Veterans Administration, I'm sorry. But they went ahead, and then their lawyer said, no, 4 years, and they've gone back and forth, and they're going to go ahead with 6 years, unless something else comes up in that period of time that may prove prior injury that they're trying to...
Have we been able to get a...
So they're still getting depositions,
too. Deposition from the donkey.
Yeah.
Killer donkey.
Killer donkey.
Yeah, killer donkey.
And I think, Mike, I think they're going to be getting a deposition from you and your wife, Kathy. You and Kathy and the donkey. No, I'm kidding. And Ole. I think you still need to get one from Ole.
Yeah, got it.
So, yeah, good luck with that.
Communication from the lawyers. Anyway, that's still in progress.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, go ahead.
And I'm not a lawyer, but it seems there's a long dance going on here between the two legal entities. And I think they probably all know the game they're playing. But to my knowledge, nobody's been out yet and ascertained where the accident took place. And if it took place on BLM land, is it not the case that there is no case?
Yeah, I would say.
I don't understand why that hasn't been done yet.
Larry, I don't know. Larry was here that day.
Do you know what happened?
Wasn't it just that him?
I was under the impression he was out across here. But I,
that's the impression I had.
All I know is what you know, Larry.
That's where they're
told. It's somewhere down
his own private horse
by the wash. And I don't know where the BLM starts and the association property ends. But
the report I got in visiting that day was that it was out across the wash over on the side hill, and the BLM and the private zigzags back and forth across that road.
So my point is, it hasn't been determined.
Right.
And there may be no case if it gets determined. Is that not potentially correct?
I would assume.
That's where they're
that to that the insurance lawyers.
For them to determine what happened, then, I guess.
Yeah.
It's the injured party and his grandson are the only two that were
there.
Yeah, riding together. There was no other, so they could say whatever. I don't know. Anyway, I like to. This is turn over the reins to the new board, and I'll leave it to the new board to decide when where they're going to meet next. And
1, 2, 3, 4, with the majority of them not here.
Yeah. So that we'll probably be waiting to hear the website, the internet, look for, you know, when the next meeting is going to be, and those who are interested with water rights issues, contact the new board and try to set something up. Maybe involve yourself with the process with a committee or something.
Do we have a committee?
The new board can establish committees. As it is right now, the committees are, you know, not erased. I mean, we still have a couple committees that were still in progress, and that's our agricultural committee and roads. Yeah.
Right now, we don't have a water report committee.
No, we do not.
Dale's still been handling the study that the board authorized him to do to try to document the association water rights this year that he's worked on. Would be the committee and the.
As a member.
Yeah.
Speaking as a member, I feel like we need a water master for our rents, and I think Dale would be an excellent choice for that because he knows the situation and what we need to know and keep going on the ranch. But that's just me as a member of the Ranch Association. I think we need a water master.
Well, I think definitely we need a water committee to help us look at
that. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a big issue, and it's all, you know,
yes,
we need to iron things out.
Oh, I can't call you.
Thanks, President Linda.
Larry.
I have ongoing stuff with the wildlife, and so as your reestablishing committee, I'll still act in that. I still have...
Larry's still the bear patrol.
Yeah, Larry's still our
wildlife
representative. Thank you, Larry.
In favor of people
absolutely.
Getting educated.
So I'll call this meeting to adjournment, and I requested, and Paul's been grateful to offer a benediction.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this day. We're so grateful for this time that we can all meet together. I pray for a safe travel home. I pray that as we go through with this new board, that we can be diligent in all the things that we do, and we can be good stewards of this land that you've given us. I also pray that you bless this food. I pray that it will strengthen and nourish us. I just pray that you just be here with us for the rest of the day. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.